time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Before we jump into our interview, we're going to set the tone with a little bit of live music. Here is a version of In the Garden, one of my favorite hymns. It is done by a group that I'm a member of called 4Change. Sit back and enjoy.
The garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on.
My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. And I have my good friend Vicki McMurray with me today as co-host. Thank you so much, Vicki.
Thanks for having me, Carla.
Vicki always talks about me because I always
I always
have to touch her on the shoulder
when
or something.
She's introducing me.
Yes. So thankful for Vicki in my life. And we want everyone to know that Every Heart, Every Woman radio show is a program of Love Ministries. Love Ministries is a 501c3 nonprofit. You can find out more information about Love Ministries from their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. And Vicki and I are very happy to welcome Brooke Fish to the show today. Welcome, Brooke.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hi, we're so excited you're here.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. It's a little ominous. We were just talking before we came on the air about, you know, I said, Brooke, please just imagine yourself at Starbucks. We're having a latte, hanging out. And she goes, yeah, but we have earphones on and microphones are in our faces. It is very odd to have a setting like that. But again, we just want you to be comfortable. Yes. We're happy you're here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. So we met Brooke through a mutual friend of ours, mm-hmm. Amanda Stevens.
Hi, Amanda.
Yes. What up, girl?
And so, Brooke, we understand that God has walked with you through the storms of life. So many women listening have faced different things in their lives, and Vicki and I surely have.
Mm-hmm.
We've shared a lot on the show. So we'd just like for you to just relax and share your story about what God has done in your life.
Man, that's a big task to relax and kick back and just share your testimony.
Yeah.
So I haven't done this in a while. So not that I care at all about sharing my testimony. Like, I care.
Yeah.
But not that I'm hesitant in sharing it. It's just that I haven't had the forum to share it in a while.
Well, we're honored then that
yes,
we get to be the catalyst for getting it out there again.
Thanks.
It's going to help someone today. I'm absolutely positive.
I hope so. That's why I'm here. I just listened to a sermon from Matt Chandler, and he said, if showing you my scars prevents other people from bleeding, then I'm going to show my scars.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes.
That's a great way to say that.
Yeah. So I grew up, I always start with like how I grew up, because I was not a believer until I was about 29 or 30.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
My parents were believers, but we moved to Texas so that my dad could open a ladies' shoe store. And when that happened, we went to church for a while, and then I'm old. So then the blue laws came into effect.
Yes.
Okay.
And I was there. Yes, I'm here. I'm close to you. We talked earlier. Yeah.
Yep. Yes. Uh-huh. So my dad started working every Sunday. My mom has multiple sclerosis, and she didn't want to go without my dad. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of stopped going.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't really, to me at the time, it wasn't a big deal. We were, I think our church calls them CEOs. We were church and Easter only Christians.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So
that's a new term for me. CEOs.
Yeah, right.
CEOs.
Okay.
Priesters.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Church, Christmas, and Easter.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Christmas and Easter.
Yes.
Christmas and Easter.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
CEOs. That was
very
us.
Good.
So, I guess I should just start by, after that, just saying. Both my parents, but my dad in particular, was a gracious, loving, friendly, warm, awesome, amazing man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not with us anymore,
okay.
So I cannot praise him enough.
Aww.
He always was very kind, very warm. And then he and I were very similar, so we also had our battles where we would butt heads.
Mm-hmm.
But even in the midst of a family that was very loving, very gracious, very kind, very warm, I always sought out the approval of man. I don't know why, but that's kind of how I've been wired. So that would look like, oh, I want people to think I'm pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to like me. I want to be popular. I want the cute guy to like me,
mm-hmm.
and I always had a boyfriend. I always have had a rebellious spirit as
mm-hmm.
well. So my dad would always describe my sister and I as, my sister was book smart,
mm-hmm.
and I was street smart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think there was probably a little bit too much street in me because since I was the youngest, my sister would pave the way for what was okay and not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then she never broke any rules. And then I came along and it was like, oh, whatever. Like, whatever Brooke wants to do, that's fine.
Right.
She wants to go to Puerto Vallarta or to some other location for spring break and with a group of guys, and I only know one of them. That's fine. She's smart. She'll handle it. Like,
mm-hmm.
not worried about her.
Total
mm-hmm.
trust.
Yes. So that's, that's the thing.
They
had trust. Way too much trust.
Right.
Like, went to New York during prom
prom?
Yeah, and like left my sister and I to be home by a certain time, and they would call us just to make sure. Like, just total trust when they shouldn't have, you know? Should not have trusted me. So, anyway, so that that kind of rebellious side and the approval of man altogether, and also I love a good time. I love being around people. I love making people laugh. I love a party.
Okay. So you're the life of the party.
Well, I don't know that I'm the life of it, but I sure like to be there.
Okay.
Yes. we have similarities.
So, I started dating at a young age. Went to 2 senior proms when I was in 8th grade.
Wow.
Like, again, eighth trust.
Grade? Mom and dad were like, yes, you're in 8th grade. You can go to prom.
Yeah, it's real weird. Like, they were like, oh, we trust you.
Right.
I have no idea why. So,
well, and our parents do the best they know how to do. Like, I look back, I have a 22-year-old daughter and an 18-year-old daughter, and I'm sure they're like, my mom and dad let me do this. And, you know, you just do the best you can in the moment, and you want to trust them.
Yeah, you totally do, right? Like, as a parent now, I totally want to trust my kids all the time. And it's crazy because I had, like, this whacked-out sense of morality. Like, I would never sneak out. That's just not okay. You don't do that.
That is hilarious.
But I'm sure going to party and do drugs and do all the other stuff, right?
Okay. Like,
so by
that is
my,
funny how we have those rules in our head.
I know,
it
like,
really
like
makes
what's
sense.
Okay, but what's not. Yeah. So by my freshman year, I was sexually promiscuous, and I had started doing drugs, and just looking for acceptance and approval and all the worldly things that we look for, right? Like, some people look for it in fashion. Some people look for it in their work. So, I mean, we just, we're all searching.
Right. We're
and especially when we don't know the Lord, we're looking for it in every material thing we can find.
Right.
Never satisfies.
And filling this void that you can't fill because you don't know the Lord yet.
Yeah.
That's just so interesting to me. So, so you're a freshman and you're making choices that aren't healthy for yourself.
Yeah.
And what is going through your mind while, I mean, can you remember what your 16 or 15, 16, 17 year old mind was going through when, I mean, at the back of your head, were you thinking, I know I'm not really supposed to be doing this?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because everybody, like, I lived in a really small town that is not small anymore.
Okay.
But at the time, it was really small. And we, everyone partied and everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people, majority people had a lot of money. So there was all this money and all this free time and...
So it was just kind of normal. This was the normal thing.
Yeah, it was very normal. Everybody I hung out with was doing it. And
so you're like, I'm just part of the group.
Yeah, I was just part of the group. I generally hung out with people that were a couple of years older than me, my sister's age. My sister never partied, never did drugs, never did any of that stuff. But for some reason, I did. So fast forward to my senior year in high school, I met a guy, and we started dating, and we dated off and on. I guess it was the summer before my senior year. We dated off and on for 4 years.
Wow.
Really thought he was the guy that I was going to marry, and had inappropriate relationships with or relations with him. That sounds weird, doesn't it? That sounds like so grandma.
I know.
You had relations.
Relations.
Or like Bill Clinton. You had I did not have relations with that
Right, right. She's got her finger in the air too, just like your grandma would do.
Yeah. So yes.
But just still as a senior, so I want to jump back. So still you're a senior and still you're like, no, this is normal. This is what everybody does.
I mean, so
we're still in
he
that
was
mindset.
And the guy that I was dating was dabbling in dealing drugs. I mean, my world, it sounds crazy because I made straight A's for the most part.
That was my
part.
Next question. It's like, where are you academically while you're making
I'm
these
killing
choices?
It.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So that's probably why your parents were trusting.
Yeah.
Because it looks like, okay,
although,
she's taking care of her,
although
her
my dad
business.
One day was like, hey, he was talking to one of the shoe vendors that he was working with. And he was like, babe, go to your closet and grab that shoe. You know which one I'm talking about? And he described it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go grab it. And it was a heel, like a little 2-inch kitten heel or something. And that I had cheated on my French test, and like the verbs, like how you how you conjugate verbs in French were written on the bottom, and he was like, Brooke, what is this? And I was like, oh, the French is hard, Dad.
So my goodness.
But
that
we just had a really open line of communication, and my dad was a partier too, like nowhere near what I was, but he would always have a good time in high school and college, and was like senior of this or the captain of the soccer team and really popular. So I think he just saw a lot of him in me and kind of felt like, well, I never went totally off the rails, so I trust her not
What's
to
the
as
harm?
Well. Yeah.
Okay.
And then everybody around me is doing it. The guy that I was dating was like a small-time drug dealer. So, I mean...
And your parents have no clue. Do you think they ever, you know, as a parent, because I've had to deal with some not so healthy choices with my daughters, and looking back now after walking through that, there were some signs to me that I should have looked a little harder, or maybe I didn't want to really accept what some of the things
were.
Well,
my mom, she, I think because of her MS, she doesn't really like to go very deep in conversations. And so I think denial for her and my dad because of the MS and because of a few other things.
Well, they've already got that going on. So you've got all kinds of little things stirring in different little pots at home.
Yeah, denial is a thing for them.
Okay. Oh, I that's in my family too.
Yeah. So
with
we don't really deal with the MS. I mean,
Okay.
Oh, so it was like mom has MS.
But we do normal things and everything's
it.
Fine because she's not in a wheelchair. She was in a wheelchair for a while and then she's not in a wheelchair and she's great and she's getting stronger.
Right.
So, yeah, just a big bunch of denial. And my I guess that was my senior year. I ended up, I was drinking and driving. Like, God has had his hand on me so many times. I know that I'm meant to be here and that he's not finished with me because I should be dead a million times over. But drinking and driving, spun out with one of my girlfriends, spun out, ended up parked in a cow pasture and got out of the car, tried to push it out of the ditch. Tires were completely knocked off the sides. This is just a little picture of how my life was out of control and how my parents, like my dad for sure, was not in denial. Walked to a house, knocked on the door at like 3 o'clock in the morning and had my parents come get us because we like – anyway, my friend that was with me passed out in my dad's lap with her mouth, like, aimed at his nostrils, and we were busted. I mean, and really, like, the only thing my dad said to me the next day at, like, I don't know, 7 o'clock in the morning was, one, you could have killed your friend. I expect more of you. And
well, that's a big one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My sister's always like, don't you remember Dad would always tell us, don't forget where you came from whenever we left the house? I was like, no, I don't remember that. Don't remember that. So, and then he said, and your friend, another one of our good friends that my dad kind of like took under his wing, has been up trying to help me get your car out of the ditch. So I don't care if you have a hangover, and I don't care what's going on with you, but you need to get up, get your act together, go apologize to your friend, and then help me get this car out of the ditch. And then we talked about what were you thinking, and you're grounded for a month, and no driving your car except to and from school and work, and blah, 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 all this stuff, right?
So when this happens, are you thinking, maybe I shouldn't have...
No,
you're still not there yet.
No, I don't care. All I care about
I remember feeling
the
that
next
way too.
Party.
I mean, I didn't make
you know,
very
like,
great decisions either. Yes.
I had a sense of morality and I had good friends and I had a great family, but I
we're not
consequences
there yet.
Weren't there.
Right.
Okay.
So, anyway, all of that to say, fast forward to I guess my freshman year in college. 18, 19 years old, and I was walking to class one day, and I was nauseous, and I was like, oh my gosh, what if I'm pregnant? The doctors had told my boyfriend that he, like, there was no way he'd ever have kids wasn't possible. So we never thought that that was even an option.
Okay.
And this is the guy you'd been dating for the 4 years.
Yeah,
he's
off
young.
And on for 4 years. Well, he was 2 years older than
me. So you, okay.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years older than
okay.
me.
Okay.
And he was at the same college. He was there before I was. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I just remember sitting on that bench on campus thinking, I'm going to be sick. What if I'm pregnant? That can't be possible. And then running through all the scenarios mm-hmm, in your head mm-hmm. of, like, what on earth?
Mm-hmm.
Talked to him, and he was like, okay, well, we'll figure this out. It's okay. And we went to Planned Parenthood. Had the test. He was with me, took the test, came back positive. And I was basically like, okay, I know what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I will give Planned Parenthood a little bit of credit, not a lot. But they did ask me, do you want to know your options?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I already know what I'm going to do. And I didn't give my boyfriend a say-so. I didn't consider the fact that he could ever possibly want kids. Like, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was about you.
Right. Totally about me. And so we planned for me to get an abortion. And the night before, I stayed the night with him and went up to the clinic. And it was like a very cold, sterile. It was very weird. There were picketers. There were.
Because mm-hmm. what year would have this been? I'm trying to think.
Let's see. I graduated in 91. So it would have been 91, 90, mm-hmm. probably 92.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was in the day when there was always a lot. I mean, not that there aren't now, but there, right. I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and like, they had to stand behind like the,
mm-hmm.
like
the
a
barrier.
Barricade.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right, right. I remember that.
And I just remember being really angry and like, you don't know my situation
right.
and flipping them off and, you know, mm-hmm. teen angst mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the night before, how are you feeling? That's
okay,
a heavy
so this
decision,
is a weird thing.
Brooke.
I know, right? Like, it's really kind of an out-of-body experience because I can talk about this mm-hmm. now mm-hmm. as if that wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
Because truly when God
That's
says,
God's gift.
I make all
yes.
things new,
mm-hmm.
I am new.
Right.
I am
right.
so far removed from
right.
that person.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
Can I interrupt?
Absolutely.
Because we need to take a break.
Oh, good.
And you know,
right
I was like, we are leaving
that.
Everyone on
it's
like
a cliffhanger.
There you go,
right. We're leaving everyone on cliffhanger. So everyone, let's take a break. We will be right back.
Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the show, everyone, Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host. I have my good friend Vicki McMurray here co-hosting with me today. And Vicki and I are having a very open and honest conversation with Brooke Fish. And Brooke is really blessing us, like mm-hmm. On the break, Vicki and I were like, okay, we need to talk about this.
We
want to ask you about this.
This is so fabulous. Thank you, Brooke.
Y'all yes.
are sweet. Very kind.
So let's jump back into right where we left off, Brooke. This is the night before you've decided that abortion is your choice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you guys had asked me, did I, what was I thinking? What was I feeling? I think I was scared. Mm-hmm. I really didn't think of... oh, this sounds terrible. I didn't think of the baby as a life. I thought of it as me just being the host, because if it wasn't within me, then it wouldn't survive anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, and hearing that as a mom now is hard because I'm a different person.
Right.
So really, I wasn't thinking anything. I was afraid because I didn't know what to expect.
Sure.
But
mm-hmm.
I wasn't thinking anything like morally or anything. Like I said, got up the next day, went to the clinic, angry, bitter, just frustrated, didn't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Had the procedure done. The nurse that was with me was so sweet and so tender, and the doctor was a big jerk. And it's just very cold. And then afterwards you go into this room and there's just bed upon bed of girls
lying there
that have gone through the same thing, and they're eating crackers and drinking Sprite, and, oh, you may feel a little nauseous. And I think that was the time where it was like,
wow,
it came around me. It was like, whoa, this is legit. This is real. And I don't, what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
Like this, what I'm seeing now with all these cots, with all these girls, that is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that was not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Right? And then went home and fought with my boyfriend because he did some really stupid things, just insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And then went back to work a couple of days later and acted as if everything were fine.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's funny how we do that.
I know, right?
Yeah. We just shove that under the rug
yeah.
and move on,
yeah.
even though you had that moment where
yeah.
I just can't even imagine sitting there looking around me going, okay, because I think what we were talking about earlier, you know, we're in this space when we're 18, 19, 20, 21, 20, it's all about me.
Oh,
and
totally.
Then you're in there, you're like, whoa, this
right.
is not just about
yeah.
me.
Yeah, it was
other
so much
girls
bigger.
Are, yeah,
yeah,
making that choice.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel right. It feels
yeah.
yucky.
Yeah.
But let's stick it under the rug and go back to work.
Oh,
yeah.
totally.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 And I was like, we're not telling my mom. We're not
right.
telling anybody. We're
right.
not telling. We're not telling anybody. And then, like, one of the rules I give you is that you can't walk stairs and you
oh.
can't for, like, I think, 2 weeks or something. I don't really remember. But no stairs, no heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
And at my job, I had to do some heavy lifting. I wasn't working for my dad's shoe store anymore because, like I told you guys during
mm-hmm.
the break, we ended up losing our business and losing our home. So my dad and my mom were dealing with all of that, and I didn't know that at the time. So
mm-hmm.
it was like a tornado of events
mm-hmm.
happening.
Yes.
But I was in my own world,
right.
my own bubble.
Right.
My dad, I find out later on, is contemplating suicide.
Oh,
and my sister is having to leave her college of choice because my parents can't afford it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just a mess, and
mm-hmm.
all I care about is me.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's survival, too.
Yeah, it might be, right?
Maybe.
So ends up at work, I lift something that's too heavy,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, like, I feel something within me, like, rupture, and I, like,
oh,
I'm
gosh, goodness.
Cramping, and I felt like I was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was going to die, so I drove myself home because that's what teenagers do, because even though you feel like you're going to die, you're pretty sure that's not going to happen to
right.
you.
Right,
right, right, right.
Like, crawl into the front door on my hands and knees.
Oh, goodness.
And my mom's like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
I just spilled everything. And she called the clinic and was like, what's happening to my daughter? What
mm-hmm.
do I need to do? Anyway, that became a really sweet point for my mom and I
mm-hmm.
because we were able to not – I don't want to say it was good to have a secret, but we had something that bonded us
mm-hmm.
differently because
mm-hmm.
before it was me and my dad that were close.
Okay.
So, anyway – she called my boyfriend and was like, you need to leave work because my daughter is suffering and you're part of this. So you need to get over here and support her right
mm-hmm,
now.
Mm-hmm.
And after that and after I was okay, I did not think about it again. Like, didn't think about it.
Interesting. Wow.
Like, once I knew that I was out of the
mm-hmm.
danger zone, if
mm-hmm.
you will, and knew that I was going to be okay,
mm-hmm.
I didn't think about it again. But then... and, okay, this sounds crazy, but this is, like, the coping of the brain. So fast forward, I don't know, probably 10 years, 8 to 10 years, and I had started hitting myself when things weren't going the right way
okay.
or when I felt like things were out of control or I looked ugly or I couldn't handle the pressure of
mm-hmm.
things, started hitting myself.
You couldn't shove it down anymore.
Uh-uh.
It was leaking out.
Yeah.
Mm, yes.
Weird, right?
Yes.
So I had started dating this new guy named Adam Fish and fell in love and never wanted kids. Like,
mm-hmm.
my whole life, never wanted kids
mm-hmm.
until I met him. And then, bam, I want kids. So I confessed to him what was going on. We dated for a year, got married for a year. He knew everything. I didn't hide anything from him. He knew all about my past. And told him I'm hitting myself and I don't know, like, what to do. I don't know why it's happening. So I went and saw a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And then, y'all, God is just so good. So I started working at a very large phone company doing stuff for the telephone book, like design stuff.
What's a telephone book?
Oh. Yeah, right. Sorry. I mean, okay. It's something that you sit in a chair if your kid needs to be higher up.
Yes. In the high chair.
Sorry. Yes. I know that's digress, but it just cracked me up.
So my husband is designing it.
Well, that's a strategy.
Okay. I'm giving like color direction.
Right.
That's interesting.
Ad direction.
Oh,
and stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, so weird. The gal that ends up being my boss leads me to Christ because I'm asking her all these questions because my husband came back from New York, moved back from New York, and was like, I'm going to follow the Lord. Oh, this sounds so convoluted, but it's just there's so many details and we don't have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
But all of this to say, my husband's like, Lord, he prays for the first time mm-hmm. in New York. And he's like, Lord, if you get me back to Dallas, I will seek you. I don't know if you're real, but if you do X, Y, and Z, then sure. I'll know you're real mm-hmm. and I'll study you mm-hmm. and I'll find out who you are.
Hmm.
Well, those things happen.
Yes.
And then he's like, I have to do this. Mm-hmm. I made a promise mm-hmm. and I got to do this. Mm-hmm. So he starts going to BSF.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And he's like, I need to learn about the Lord. And so I think this is where you do it. And
right.
so he's like all in. And so I'm freaking out and I start asking my boss all these questions. Then she ends up leading me to Christ. And then
this is all happening around the same. We're talking about approximately
like
same time.
Probably about 15 years ago now.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So the very woman that leads me to Christ also does a post-abortion recovery ministry.
Oh my
at
goodness.
Our church. God is so good.
Perfect.
He is so good.
Right. Like what?
Perfect.
Yes. So I tell all the people that I'm in community group with. Like, oh, I don't have a problem. Oh, I never think about it. And then I start, like, okay, well, then when I get pregnant with my first kiddo, then I really start thinking about
right.
it, right?
Right?
Like, all these weird things start right. happening. I'm pregnant with a kiddo that I really want and love and terrified that I might lose,
mm-hmm.
terrified
sure.
that God might get me back,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because
mm-hmm.
I'm still really mm-hmm. young in my faith, and
right.
I had no idea. And so I'm having all these weird things, like this collision of all these things happen. And finally, my community group was like, I really think you need to go to Someone Cares, which is the post-abortion recovery
okay.
ministry. And I was like, oh, yeah, I don't think so. I never really think about it.
mm-hmm.
And they were like,
it's kind of yeah.
And
you're
so
just
then,
adorable, but no.
Yeah.
Aren't you precious?
Yes.
And so then I meet my old boss who led me to Christ for coffee, and I was like, hey, my community group thinks this, but I really don't think that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, she said, oh, that's cute, because really the people who don't think they need it are the ones that need
it
the most.
Wow.
Like,
bless her
Ooh.
For saying that.
Wow.
I hate you
in
for
your face.
That.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Bam.
I know.
So begrudgingly, I go. After I end up exploding at my husband and realize, okay, this is like seeping into every area
mm-hmm,
of my life and
mm-hmm.
I can't really push it down enough anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And God just does like a mighty work.
Yeah.
I think probably the second night I was there, I broke down. And really, I think the Holy Spirit came over me and showed me truth,
mm-hmm.
just opened up what had really happened. And the ladies in there just covered me in prayer, covered me in grace.
Mm-hmm.
And in that class, I found forgiveness
yes.
and restoration
yeah.
and what God's love really looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do.
That's gorgeous.
I can't do that experience justice
right.
of what that
right.
meant to me
yes.
and how that changed my life.
Mm.
Yes, God was in my life, and that was a huge part.
Right.
But when the Holy Spirit came over me in that moment, the chains were broken.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And after that class, I haven't hit myself once.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't breathing. Just, I think I held my breath while you were talking.
I wish everybody could see.
I know. It's so beautiful. The intensity,
yes.
The love, the peace that as you're talking about it, it's almost like this peace.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I'm so grateful for your former boss.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm so grateful
yes.
that Adam came to the Lord.
Oh, yes. My gosh. Yes. I know. Me too.
And also, again, it seems like, every single show, we in some way lift up the power of small group
mm-hmm.
and the power of you being with people
mm-hmm.
like-minded
mm-hmm.
where they can sincerely pour into your life, where you can grow,
see,
where you
you're
can
so
share.
Sweet. I'm like, oh, that can call you out on your junk?
Yes.
Yes. That's what you
I
have
mean,
to
that,
have in
yes.
your life.
You said it prettier, though.
Yes.
But you said
well,
it sweeter.
Well,
but that is it, too. We
it
all
is.
Need it.
We
all need
do
it.
Need it.
Everybody needs
mm-hmm.
it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, I mean, God.
That's crazy, right? It's, like, oh, there's my life in like a very small, time-limited nutshell.
Yeah. But you know what? It's crazy how it's unbelievable. I don't know. It's believable, but crazy how God is perfect.
Oh, my God.
How
he
would just put exactly in your path exactly what you need and get,
every time.
You know,
mm-hmm.
get
every
you
time.
To the
I mean,
point
the
of holiness.
The tapestry
and,
that he's weaving in our lives
yes.
is just insane.
Yeah.
And all we see is the garbly gook on
yes.
the backside,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And he, like, sees the big picture
mm-hmm.
and knows, like, how intricate it is and beautifully.
Yeah.
Ornate it's going to be in the end.
In the end. So what is the name of the abortion group?
It's Someone Cares.
Is it?
Okay.
Are they national type organizations? Because I want to put that on our social media.
Yeah, we'll
put
that on our social
media. They're through Watermark Church.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Okay,
great.
And they accept, I mean, I don't know what it looks like now, but they accept people from, you don't have to be a member of Watermark.
Right, any denomination.
And it meets in a house,
mm-hmm.
not on campus.
Right.
So
okay.
you...
There's a comfort to that, too, if you're
anonymity.
Not a church person.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Although
okay.
every time we met, I would have visions of somebody finding out that that's what we were meeting for
mm.
and coming in with a gun and, shooting us all.
Hmm.
Isn't that crazy? Like, your mind
well,
just goes
Well, there
crazy
are the
stuff.
Protesters mm-hmm. that can be scared. You know, those that have... You know.
Well, and I think the enemy will just do whatever he can. Like,
he will.
To try to discourage
I
mean.
Oh,
you.
Yeah, yes. and to get you not to show
yes.
up.
Right.
Like,
yes.
I can't
right.
tell you how many times people will be like, oh, I got a flat tire. Oh,
yes.
I
right.
this happened. Oh, and
right.
we would just all collectively, like, get everyone there.
Right, right.
Well, we'll link
good.
The,
small group.
The
That's great.
Group through Watermelon
yes.
on our
yeah, So website. Talk to us a little bit about social media. Because before the break, when you said... when you were younger, you were searching for approval
mm-hmm.
and searching for just, you know, the I guess your peer group
mm-hmm.
to say, okay, yeah, you're cool.
Oh, yeah.
You're one of the cool kids.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
you know, hang with us. And even though you're a little younger, hang with us. And I think that that's sometimes what our young people struggle with, especially though now through social media.
Oh, man.
So, And even if you can, share with us how you handle it with your kiddos.
Well, I have a 13-year-old who he tells me he doesn't want Instagram, but he wants a phone and he might, you know, he wants to text his friends.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, hashtag not ready. I just know that if social media were a part of my story. Well, I think I know that if it were a part of my growing up, I don't know. I mean, God can use anything, anytime, in amazing, redemptive ways.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that I don't think I would have been strong enough to handle the pressures.
Mm-hmm.
And I am forever grateful that my unguided life is not caught on tape.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe, just personally for my 13-year-old, who's very mature and very trustworthy, in that we have open dialogue. We
yes.
talk about everything.
Yes.
I have access to his quote-unquote phone.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's really more like an iPod. I don't
mm-hmm.
even, y'all, I'm so
Whatever
not
that
tech
is.
Savvy.
Yes. Yeah.
like, he doesn't have a phone number.
Mm-hmm.
But he can play games on his device.
Mm-hmm.
I I don't think we have any concept. I mean, I think some people do, but by and large, I don't think we have any concept of what we're putting into our children's hands mm-hmm. and what we're asking them to be responsible for. Mm-hmm. Like tying that into my life and like we said that, oh, my parents just trusted me. Mm-hmm. They trusted me with too much. Mm-hmm. I think that phone is the same kind of trust, but in like multiplied by 100.
Right,
right.
We're putting this tool in our kids' hands that gives them access to the entire world.
The entire world.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want that for mm-hmm. my kiddo. Mm-hmm. He's not ready. I'm not ready. Like, that's been the big thing. Every yes. time he's like, Mom, can I have a phone? I'm like, I'm not ready yet. You might be ready, honey, but I'm not ready yet.
Understand why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we just talk about the dangers of mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. and the dangers of really looking to anything other than the Lord to mm-hmm. satisfy. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people could say, oh, well, you're just naive. Well, I'm not naive. I mean, we talk about sex. We have open conversations about all of that.
Right.
My youngest the other day, my husband was doing weed killer in the front yard. And my youngest said, Dad, does that kill marijuana too? And I was like, what? He goes, well, it says weed killer on it. I was like, oh, my, what? Where? Why? No. So then
you know what? That's actually a fair question.
I know, right? I was like, okay, so let's talk about that.
He doesn't need a phone.
No. I want to protect that yes. innocence yes. for as long as I can.
Sure.
We're in a public
we all do.
School. Yeah. We have 60% majority minority. It is
what a great
60% below poverty line.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, and we just love our yes. community and mm-hmm. we pour into them. And I'm grateful for all the experiences that my kids get at school.
Sure.
Yes. I'm like, you got the internet at your school, man.
Right.
Like,
right.
Those kiddos that you're loving on every day and that are loving on you, that's your community and they are a good picture of the world. Mm-hmm. And as things come into your world, we will deal with them head on. Beforehand, we'll prepare. But then when they come into your world, we'll deal with those and we'll have open dialogue. But a phone just opens you up to even more. And
yes.
people
yes.
are just like the enemy is crouching around
yes.
like a roaring lion yes. waiting to devour.
Yes.
Right. And
looking
over
who he
my
yes.
dead body, is he going to get my kids?
My children. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There you go.
He almost had me.
Yeah.
And God plucked me out of his mm-hmm. hand. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm very protective mama
yeah.
bear.
Yeah. There you go. Let's talk very quickly about these conversations that you have mm-hmm. with your children. Because that sometimes scares parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We're going to have open dialogue.
It scares me.
About sex. We're going to have open yeah. dialogue. Okay. So how do you even approach it?
Well, we just have we're open about everything.
Mm-hmm.
We do a family Bible study every Saturday morning.
Okay.
And we have dinner together every night.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And then we...
That's great that you can make that happen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we're not in the age of sports and
right.
stuff yet. Like,
okay.
he's
right.
just entering junior
right.
high,
okay.
so I'm
right.
sure that that's going to come to a halt.
Right.
But I'm going to protect as much of that
yes.
as,
right. absolutely
as
do.
We can.
Do.
So we just have a really open dialogue, and my husband is really funny and really open and really God-centered, and he can use his humor to, alleviate the
yes.
tension.
Lighten the mood.
Yeah,
yes.
to lighten the
mm-hmm.
mood.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just end up joking about a lot of stuff because my children are so uncomfortable. My youngest more not so, but my oldest is like, oh my gosh, can we stop talking
right.
about
stop
this?
The madness.
Yeah.
I know my kids
yeah.
were like that too.
Yeah.
And you know, for me, when my kids, when talking to kids, I just sort of let it them come to me if they had a question in the early stages
mm-hmm.
And answer the question and don't give anything else
right.
that could spur, you know, the wheels turning. So if they, you know, ask something, I would answer it and just sort of be matter of fact and move on.
Yeah.
I mean,
I do think
too,
if you
but...
don't make a big deal out of
right.
it, like the other night we were at dinner and I think we were talking about bad words and, you know, they say, oh, the F word or whatever. Mm-hmm. And my husband just went through all the words. And my boys were like,
they need to hear it.
Oh, gosh, Dad. And he was like, look, they're just words. We give them power because they have meaning to us. And then we abuse that.
Yes.
And
it
just doesn't honor and glorify the Lord.
Right.
Yes. And then we talked about something else, too, and I can't. Oh, just the other day, I had a conversation with my oldest and a bunch of his friends about some girls cutting themselves. Mm. And
that breaks my heart.
Like, trying to tell these boys, you guys, like, what? That's not okay. Mm-hmm. Please reach out to an adult if you see that, because that's a cry for help. Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And they, I mean, they're just 13-year-olds. They didn't know. And then I talked to my oldest after I took all the other kiddos home and was like, man, babe, you got to tell me about these things. If you see somebody hurting themselves, that's when you've got to reach out and tell a grown-up. And he's like, yeah, but they're so happy at school. And I was like, yeah, that's the thing, right? We all put on a mask.
Right.
So I just try, and I try to be open and, like you said, answer the questions when I can and then be preemptive.
Stay ahead of it.
Yeah, stay ahead of it.
Right, and that is
when
smart.
I can.
Stay ahead of it. Absolutely.
Luckily, I do have people in my life that have gone before me, like either by 10 years or by a couple of years.
And again, rally around like-minded people.
Gather the troops.
You got to have that.
You can't go into battle alone.
No.
Come on.
No.
You
got to
put on the armor of God
first
and then
gather
your troops and move forward.
Yeah. Beautiful.
So, on the subject of dating.
He's not going to date until he finds the girl he wants to marry, and that'll be
there
college.
You go. There
you know what?
That's realistic, right?
You know what? I actually talked to a mom. Now, she's in a different setting because she has her children, and then she has some other children that live with her in her house, her and her husband. And I asked her, I said, okay, you've got all of these kids here. How do you handle dating? And she said, you can't date. You can pray about it and see what the Lord says, and you can get married.
Yeah.
But you can't. Now, and that was her honest answer.
I love that.
Yeah, that was her honest answer.
I mean, so I heard somebody say the other day, I was listening to a podcast, and they were like, oh, yeah, all of us parents are just so afraid. We want to be people's friends, or we want to be our kids' friends. But really, like, we're here to, like, guide them.
Right. Yes,
and
yes,
like,
yes, not to be friends.
Yeah,
yes.
And so, I don't know, I mean, both my boys are real cute. And my oldest is just growing into that even more. And he has these killer eyes and has been chased by girls since kindergarten.
Sure.
And I'm always like, well, you don't want to waste your time yet. Like, the purpose of dating is to find out if you want to marry them.
Yes.
And are you going to get married tomorrow? No.
No.
Okay. Well, let's just wait.
Put it back.
Yeah. Let's just wait on that.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we talk about it, and he knows, like, and all of his friends are like, bro, would your mom ever let you date? And I'm like, well, what does that mean, date? And, like, go with somebody. Where are you going?
Exactly.
You don't
have a car.
Yes,
we went through that.
Where are you going?
Yes,
right.
We're going together. Well, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah,
trust
you're
me.
Not really going anywhere except
his
school.
Mom and myself. We've already talked. You two are not going anywhere.
Yeah, so we joke about it a lot, but we also have open dialogue, so.
Yeah.
That's good.
That is wonderful. Well, Brooke, thank you so much
for
joining us.
I feel like I left people, like, hanging and probably not gave a lot of information. So if you have anybody that reaches out and has questions or
we will absolutely
need somebody
them.
To talk to, I mean,
thank you.
Here.
What a blessing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for offering that.
Thank you, Amanda, for hooking us up with
connect
Brooke.
Them. Yes, Amanda, this was wonderful. So everyone, we will see you back here next week. Remember to connect with us on our social media at EHEW Radio. Or our website, ehewradio.com. You can find out more information about Love Ministries on loveministriesbuilds.org. We will see you back here next week. Have a great week.